You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Called it Egypt, but they call themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God. For all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hump Day Wednesday, getting over that hump. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and you know it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done, because you'll get it done. And that's why we love you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. You don't have to go to TuneIn. Don't go to TuneIn. Okay? Just go to timeforanawakening.com. The right side of the page, you'll see the link on the radio program. And this program broadcasts live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Time for an Awakening broadcasts live Friday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, broadcast live on Thursday from 7 to 8. The Sankofa Elders Council broadcast live at 7 from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday. So those are the programs that are on Time for an Awakening, and you can access them by going to timeforanawakening.com. And you also can utilize the shortcut, babaoshi.net, whatever search engine that you use. Whatever search engine put in the search, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is webuyblack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, webuyblack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Taimba is ready to take another group of our people on a voyage of a lifetime, on a trip of a lifetime. March 29th, next week, March 29th to April 9th, to Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, Azinia. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. And I'm quite sure he'll have more trips upcoming as he posts them. And you can take advantage. In fact, the prices on these trips are very the prices are very good. And to take advantage of them, you need to put a down payment down. And So you can lock yourself into that. So when they, if and when they do are raised, you won't be affected by that. You'll get it at the price that you put your down payment down. All right. Habashah. Habashahincorporated.org. Habashah stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And they have works here, Habashah Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Growing Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs right here in the Atlanta area. And, of course, the Kashi Project, which was founded in Ghana, and it was dedicated 2 years ago, and it is working beautifully. Habashahincorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Ledge Group deals in the four areas of human necessity, human existence, human essentials, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Plan for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Brother Nathaniel Jordan is in Kenya. He's in Kenya. And doing great work. He's the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. He's in Kenya. And we'll get some information from him as we continue to promote him, what he does, along with Brother Jabril with Smile Pharmacy. Brother Jabril has opened up a whole new line of products. If you want to give Brother Jabril a call to find out some of the products that would be of assistance to you and whatever you're trying to do, call him at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smi Pharmacy, SmiFarmacy, SmiFarmacy.com. The Moses Drew Foundation, Brother Moses Drew. I apologize, family. Moses West Foundation. Moses Drew is a brother I went to school with. Man, that's deep. He was on the fire department with me, too, though. The Moses West Foundation. Your donations help us teach students the value of sustainability and to bringing clean water from the air. We visited the Pathways to Success Career Day each year for all the gifted sixth graders. We had 16 elementary schools representing. Moses West addressed the students who attended in 4 45-minute sessions, making it clear and plain what the ability of the atmospheric water generator can do. The atmospheric water generator, the AWG family, that's the deal. So support the Moses West Foundation. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, on Ralph Debert Abernathy. They have a fine selection of dry goods, smoothies, fruit drinks, health food stuff. Oh, man, all kind of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. It's located right on Ralph Debert Abernathy Boulevard. If you want to give them a call them at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. My good brother Kazimde Ajamu, the proprietor of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta. Jump on I-20 East. Take exit 74, that's the main street in Lithonia. Make a left, now you're going north. And about a mile, you'll see the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar on the left. And check it out. You know, give them a call at 770-76770. 305-637-3770. 305-637-3. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Jump back in your ride again. Head back the other direction. Now you're going south. And once you get back to I-20, make a left. You're still going east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take the exit, make a right. Three lights, make a right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. They have their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com. You can listen that way on the computer, or you can give them a call to listen or to give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Bija, they're open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And they have everything. They got holistic health products, beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, DVDs, literature, books, jewelry, Pan-African fashions, furniture, so forth. They even have a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Give them a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amonsetta a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti. As I said to you the other day, I contacted Sister Baina Bello, and she's going through some things from a family standpoint. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll contact her again and see if she's able to come on the program and talk about what's going on in Haiti. But in the meantime, Sister Gabriella Aurelius got a program in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, many miles from all the chaos and the things that are going on in Port-au-Prince. And you can look for you and see for yourself. Just go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Yeah. And some of you have done it. You've gone online to YouTube and put in Sister Baina Bello's name, Bello, Sister Baina, B-A-Y-Y-I-A-H-A. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to spell it incorrect. Akabin Institute, Brother Baba Baruti and Mama Ya. Of course, they have the school, and they look for support, and you can give support. You can use PayPal, put in Yah, Y-A-A, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com. Or you can use Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And also, too, for the great books that Baba Baruti, you know, puts out, and he's putting out more. In fact, he's having a piece on Higher Ground. I think that's today. And he has a piece on, why am I doing this here? Okay. Yeah, he has a piece here, Sage, S-E-S-H, that's, you know, is a scribe. It is a workshop that he's putting on. And all I know about writing and publishing books, It's a question and lecture and a question and answer. That's this Saturday, the 23rd, from noon to 2 p.m. $12. $12. All this great information. Learn for yourself about publishing books. $12. And, of course, to register, the gathering will be live streamed only. So make your $12. You can send it to PayPal or Cash App. Make sure you put in the pertinent information, Sage, S-E-S-H, your name and your email address so you can receive the link for the workshop this Saturday. If you're interested in publishing, self-publishing, and so forth, right, this Saturday, okay, this Saturday, family. All right. The Inya. Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah. While I'm setting myself up here, my good brother and friend, Brother Irv Lewis will be my co-host. He'll be on Friday, this Friday. So I look forward to that, and I hope that you do too. Brother Irv Lewis. Brother Oshie, what's wrong with you, man? I don't know, family. I'm trying to keep it together. Brother Irv Lewis will be the co-host this Friday. And I know that we always look forward to Brother Irv's insights and commentary. And yeah. March 19th. Our struggle has always been revolutionary in nature. Reform is not a solution for us. Reform, no. There is no reforming of the Ma'afa. We are in a state of constant war. The constant is white supremacy, oppression, and exploitation in all its infinite varieties. It must be destroyed. The essence of African revolutionary activity is to destroy that which is trying to destroy us and to rebuild within an African context and African tradition. One of the operational orders of the African ethos is the survival of our people. We have survived because of our imagination, inventiveness, and spiritual energy. Nana Akua. War is no fantasy. In all probability, there will be no Oscar award-winning final gunfight showdown where you go out blazing on the silver screen as the last martyr dodging a hail of enemy bombs, booby traps, and bullets. While shooting so skillfully that every one bullet you expend while in flight, somersaulting and diving through enemy lines, sporting a full length gold line mud cloth trench coat, flapping open to reveal an oversized neon ankh dangling from a necklace of roped bronze-plated cowrie shells atop a bulletproof vest made of hardback African literary classics. Picks off 10 of their best black ops-trained attackers. Revolution is not play. I repeat, revolution is not play. It is no game. It is not showtime. As Nana Kantu so accurately pointed out, it is not a gig for crybabies or daydreamers. Affirm, I am a revolutionary, not a reformer. I do not try to mend evil. I act to destroy what hurts our people and build what is good for us. Affirm, I am a revolutionary, not a reformer. I do not try to mend evil. I act to destroy what hurts our people and build what is good for us. March 20th. Nothing is so difficult that diligence cannot master. Magalese proverb. To explain about something that has happened to us every minute of every day of every year that we have been in the presence of evil is a meaningless waste of energy unless that energy is being directly, functionally, and efficiently injected into the thought and action which leads to immediately stopping this assault and turning it into a future impossibility. It is only lazy losers who always want to forgive and forget and complain and do nothing. Be not confused by the seemingly literary or radicalness of their words. There is no meaningful difference between hopeless fantasizers and constant complainers. Warriors, of course, are neither. They are not fantasizers, and they're not complainers. They are guided by righteousness, moved by rage. Warriors are charged by the ancestors and all that is good and right to directly, functionally, and efficiently to do this work from the heart. And those of us who know them, as a result of the witnessing, the consistency, the vision in their courage and fortitude, have the utmost respect for their work, are fully aware that to be this kind of servant of the people requires much, much of them, that they unwittingly become divine. I say, affirm, I am diligent. Affirm, I am diligent. A diligent warrior on the case consistently. I say, I say, I say, I say, oh. Today, Wednesday, yesterday, the NCAA tournament started. The NCAA stands for the National Association, NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association. In fact, the NCAA tournament wasn't that big. The NIT was a bigger tournament than the NCAA back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe even 60s. But it started to change, and it truly shifted all the way with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in 1979. There's one change that was huge in 1966. On a Saturday afternoon in 1966. And I happened to have opportunity to watch the game. The Texas Western against Kentucky. Adolph Rupp. And playing for Adolph Rupp at that time was Pat Riley and Louis Dampier. Pat Riley, of course, went on to win a championship for the Lakers and then become a Hall of Fame coach, coaching the Lakers, the Knicks, and the Miami Heat. But he was their, he was their top scorers at the time. And the thing about Texas Western is that the Bear, he recruited a number of American African players. You know, he recruited a number of American African players. And so when when they played the game in 1966, Texas Western versus Kentucky, he only played the American African players. Shocking the television world, shocking Cole Fieldhouse in Maryland. Only the American African players played. And he told the players that beforehand. And played well, they did. I don't know if you can, you can see the game. You can just go online. You can go to YouTube. Put in 1966, you know, and you can see the players. You can see the game, excuse me. And in fact, one of the players came to Milwaukee and worked at UWM, the University of Wisconsin Milwaukee, Neville Shedd. Yeah, if you've seen the movie Glory Road, I think he's the one that got beat up in the bathroom or something happened to him in the bathroom in the movie Glory Road. And, of course, you know, movies, they have artistic licensing, so they can embellish things and maybe put something in there that may not have been in there, you know. But the story is point on. And, you know, they, those brothers, you know, all the way, they play tough. And the only one that I can remember going to the pros was Otis Lattin. Otis Lattin played for the San Francisco Warriors and a couple of other teams. I remember him going to the pros, Otis Lattin. And yeah, 1966, Texas Western beating Kentucky for the national championship. Yeah, I tell you, it was a day that I'll never forget, Saturday afternoon. Yeah, they didn't do it in prime time. It came on about 2 o'clock or something like that on that Saturday. I'm trying to find their roster so I can give you some of the names of these brothers. You know, Bobby Joe Hill, he was tough. It was tough, man. Yeah. So you can go online and you can get that information. More importantly, you can look at the game. You can see the game. And it's, you know. But Don Haskins is the coach, the Bear. They call him Bear. Big guy. Don Haskins is the coach, and they talk about the teams that they beat in the tournament. And I'm still trying to find the roster of the team. Anyway, Glory Road, the film Glory Road, you know, Bobby Joe Hill, Otis Lattin. So many, Fauntleroy, can't get that brother's name, because he was good, and he was a good character in the movie, yeah. And so, that changed basketball forever, just like the USC playing Alabama changed football forever in terms of integration. When USC came down to Alabama, no one ever thought that Alabama would have nothing but black players. Nothing but. Yeah. So that was the change for that. But the change for the game in the NCAA, the change from the NIT that had more prestige because the NIT was played in New York to go to Madison Square Garden. And the NCAA was playing games on college campuses and some, you know, like that 1966 game was played at Cole Fieldhouse in Maryland. In fact, the 79 game was played in Utah. That game was Magic Johnson and Larry Bird was played in Utah. But not anymore. All these games are played. The only game that is played in small venue is the play-in game at Dayton University. Yesterday or last night and today. They have so much money, family. They have so much money. Billions of dollars. They have their own floor. I remember when they started just having the advertisement for NCAA, they would put a sticker on the floor. It's the floor that is of that university or something like that, but they would put a sticker, NCAA, and they may even put a sticker in the middle. Oh, no. Now this is the NCAA. This is March Madness. You see March Madness on the floor. And this is the first four in. Two are in now. Wagner out of New York. They beat Howard. They beat Howard. They barely beat him too. Howard had a chance to tie it up. They had three shots at it and missed. Boy, I was pulling for Howard. And Colorado State opened up a can of whoop ass on Virginia. Virginia's interesting. Virginia was the first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed. The next year, which I didn't get a chance to see because I was in Africa, but they came back the next year after an embarrassing loss, because it never happened before in the tournament expansion, that a number one seed would lose to a 16 seed, and it's happened again since. And they came back the following year to win the national championship. Virginia came back. So from the depths of despair to adulation and hope, yeah, they came back the next year. And so, in fact, the what you call game is so bad, the NIT, the number of teams, over 20-something schools declined since they didn't make the big tournament, because you making the big dance, as they call it now, your school will get so much money just for being named as one of the participants to the big dance. More money that you would than you would get winning the NIT. So a lot of schools, they say, well, if I didn't make the big dance, I ain't going. You know. And so they make so much money. They have their own floor. Tomorrow night when you look at tomorrow all day, because on Thursday and Friday, it's on all day. And you can watch any game you want because it's CBS, TNT, True TV, four stations, TBS, TNT, True TV, and CBS. CBS, of course, is the main station because it's the one where the championship, the Final Four will be played, and the championship will be played on a Monday night. So tomorrow night, it'll be first round. Wherever it's at, the name, they'll have the name of this, of where it's going to be played. It's being played. All this stuff is on the floor, on the basketball court, on the floor of the basketball court, all of it, you know, all the way. So your first round, second round, now that's 64. Knock that down to 32. 32, second round. Knock that down to the third, Sweet 16. And the floor will say, Sweet 16. Sweet 16. and then knock that down to Elite Eight. Elite Eight. And then Final Four. The floor will say Final Four. Road to the Final Four. And then the championship game on Monday night. And they will garner millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. After the break today, I will play a piece I haven't played in a while from last week tonight. Yeah. Last week tonight. They did this piece, and I got it pretty much when they did it. Is it just that? I don't like some of the stuff that they've done. I definitely don't like, you know, when they talk to some of the brothers and saying, what course, a Black History course, as if it's a, you know, and the announcer, and then they say another course was a Swahili course. So they make light of it and denigrate it, because I believe that we should have a Swahili course. We should learn Swahili so we can have cultural privacy in our conversation like other people do from other, you know. But if it was a French course, if it was a Spanish course, Germany, whatever, they don't make light of it. But it's a Swahili. And we need to learn Kiswa. One of my callers, Brother Rick, always talks about, you know, doing that, have another language. And we need to. And of course, to demean and degrade African history. If they said some European history, they wouldn't have done that. Of course not. But because it's African history, you know. So that's one of the main things I hate about it. But it's very revealing. And it brings out a lot of good information as it pertains to the NCAA being able to make billions of dollars and not play. In fact, this is what March Madness means. And we should always remember this, family. Always remember this. Even though I got it from Bill Maher, for Bill Maher's program, when it happened too many years ago. He said, March Madness really is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money off the labor of unpaid Black people. March Madness really is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money off the labor of unpaid Black people. Tons of money. And they have a new president of the NCAA. Emmerich was the president at the time that this video was made, and I couldn't stand that, man. I just, you know, I don't know how you feel. Like, there's some people, you know, when you hear them, when you see them, you understand their, you know, their lack of sincerity. You understand their lack of real care, and they say things in such a way, you want to punch them in the face, like Donald Trump. I don't know about you, but I've been wanting to punch that mug in the face for a very long time. I have never liked Donald Trump. I remember when Donald Trump used to come on to, like, you know, Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse, Raphael, or somebody's damn show, because that's what he would try to do, you know, play like he got all this money. And so now you see he's supposed to be a billionaire, and he, you know, he was just lying ass. But that's another show. Damn Donald Trump. I'm talking about Emmerich. I want to punch that asshole in the mouth.
Because the reality is they could do, they could pay the players. But as they said, and the video will point out, they intentionally put in the words student athletes. They're students. They're not, you know, they're not athletes. They're student athletes. They put that in there too to protect the university from being liable for injuries to these athletes that the university has recruited. So many sad stories. And it could be done. Now, they have name, and you know, because one of the things that brought on name, image, and likeness was, and he's in the video, Brother Shabazz Napier, talking about going hungry sometimes in his dorm room. And right away, the NC2A provided the ability for them to get snacks and other things, you know, throughout that time. Yeah, they did. I was like, okay, yeah. And then not too long after that, name, image, and likeness was instituted, which I don't like. I'm just being real. I don't like it because it only benefits a few. There are those who came into, who are in high school, who are influencers, who have many followers and so forth, who know how to play that particular game. Those are the individuals, and some of them, who benefit tremendously from name, image, and likeness. If they got a great game going into college, even if they don't, they can benefit monetarily. And I ain't got no problem them benefiting monetarily, but to me, that's you. Here you play on a team, you're on a team, and you might have 12, 14 players. And you're the only one? I'll never forget why this has to come about, because, excuse me, family, they were interviewing Chris Webber of the Fab Five, you know, five freshmen, University of Michigan. They brought in the baggy shorts. Michael and MCAS was already wearing the kind of baggy shorts. They brought in the black socks, the black shoes. You know, they did a number of things as the Fab Five coming in, you know. And all five freshmen, Juwan Howard, Chris Webber, Jackson, Jalen Rose, you know. And they played well. They went to the Final Four and played in the championship game two straight years. But what Chris Webber said, and they lost both games, unfortunately. They lost to Duke, yuck. And they lost to North Carolina. Yuck. So anyway, but Chris Webber said, I saw my jersey being sold in the school gift shop or souvenir shop. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't even buy it. But there it was, my jersey, my number with my name on the back. Something's wrong with that. And nor did I get anything for it. The universities have benefited tremendously. And who have also benefited tremendously? College coaches. John Calipari of the University of Kentucky. He makes more money. The University of Kentucky is a public institution. He makes more money than any public official, the governor, the provost, the president, the chancellor, whatever. He makes more money than all of them. And they have multiple revenue streams. Television programs, radio programs, endorsements. If Nike, Reebok, or somebody, Adidas, want to outfit my team, the team don't get it. They have to wear it by a contract that I have with them. I get paid. I'm from Milwaukee, and I always love Marquette, and Marquette's in the tournament, and good luck to them. But I remember Al McGuire. Al McGuire was a New York guy, came to coach Marquette, and took Marquette in 1977 to the national championship here in Atlanta at the Omni Hotel, 1977. But I remember Al McGuire talking about the players and what a benefit it was to him. I doubt very seriously if Al McGuire had million-dollar contracts, but what he did have was other perks. In fact, he was saying he had a paved driveway. And he said, I see this driving here. One of his star players out of New York was Dean Memminger. Other was George Thompson, Bob Lackey, the Black Swan. Oh, so many players of Marquette. And he said, Dean Memminger paved this driveway. What he, of course, what he meant was the fact that Dean came to Marquette, played well, Marquette had a big file, the money came in, so he got money, he was able to pave that driveway. And he knew why. It's just like other coaches, but these guys are making tens of millions. And these guys don't want the players to earn nothing. I especially have a great disdain for Dabo Swinney of Clemson. I can't stand his ass. Dabo Swinney. He want to make all this money. He said, well, as soon as the players get it, that's when you can count me out. Same thing with Nick Saban. Nick Saban has made tens of millions of dollars, particularly because he won a championship at LSU, and he also coached at Michigan State, but it wasn't like Alabama. He was getting $10 million contracts, $11 million contracts. And once again, the endorsements, the commercials, you see him on Aflac commercial even now. And he wound up quitting because he didn't like name, image, and likeness. He didn't like the fact that these young people had the opportunity to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness. These selfish, greedy son of a bitches. And so it continues. So those are the things that propel the situation to where it is. And I believe, and I already thought of a way that the players could get paid, you know, excluding name, image, and likeness, where if you are a member of a big-time program, not Division II or III, no. I'm talking about what you see on Saturday, what you see during the week. I'm talking about big-time program that have contracts, big conferences. And now it's hard to tell because a lot of these conferences have dissolved, and some of these schools like USC and UCLA is in the Big Ten, you know. So the Big Ten conference is not the Big Ten. There's about 20 schools in the Big Ten. Yeah. So I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, I'll play the piece, which is about 20 minutes long, from John Oliver. And yeah, last week tonight, John Oliver. And we'll discuss that. So I appreciate you sticking with me and listening to this diatribe here. And all right, family. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We're going to take this break. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
chip. Hit your hip.
George Duke, Reach For It, Bootsy Collins. Love it. You know it.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All right, brothers and sisters, welcome back. And we're going to go ahead and play the piece. excuse me, again. From John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. And that is, I don't know what year that is, but like I said, it's quite a while ago, and things have changed. I don't know if they got the year on here or not. Oh, 10 years ago. Okay. 10 years ago. Just shows your show. So, check this out, family. And then we'll be back for your information that you want to provide.
Our main story tonight concerns the fact that one of America's most sacred annual traditions is upon us.
Everything comes down to this.
Oh my goodness! Can I get the wheels in motion?
Bring the noise.
It goes! Yes!
As good as it gets.
March is on.
Holy shit! Yes, March is on. Fuck you, February. And April, I'll see you in hell. It's March o'clock, assholes. The first round of March Madness, the year's biggest college tournament, starts on Tuesday, and the entire nation will be watching, which means big, big money.
March Madness now brings in over $1 billion in TV ad revenue.
$1 billion. That's more than the Super Bowl. It's almost more than the entire NFL postseason combined. And that might seem like a lot until you consider the number of ads they managed to pack in.
Sponsored by Lexus.
AT&T at the Half is presented by AT&T.
Our game is brought to you in HDTV by HP.
Coke Zero presents real fans of NCAA March Madness.
Pretty soon, the only thing left to sponsor will be the sponsorships themselves. And now, Pepsi presents a Geico look at Nabisco's Toyota Moment of the Game, brought to you by Taco Bell. Because you should know, everything about this tournament is branded. Even the famous moment where players cut down the net.
Warner Ladder proud to donate to the General Scholarship Fund of every school in this year's Final Four. Warner, the official ladder of the NCAA Basketball Championships.
Are you kidding me? A Warner ladder? Look, as a ladder enthusiast, I can tell you right now, Warner's a pure shit. Unless you want a broken back, in which case, by all means, go with Warner. But you'd be better off slapping on a pair of stilts and trying to balance on a yoga ball. I'm a DeWalt man, of course. I'm not a ladder idiot. Seriously, there is nothing inherently wrong with a sporting tournament making huge amounts of money, but there is something slightly troubling about a $1 billion sports enterprise where the athletes are not paid a penny, because they aren't. And as the head of the NCAA, Mark Emmett, will tell you, they don't want that to change.
And there's not even a salary to debate. They're not employees. They're students.
The fact is they're not employees. They're student athletes. I can't say often enough, obviously, that student athletes are students. They are not employees.
The only other people who say they're not employees that much are people who run illegal sweatshops out of their basements. Oh, they're not employees. It's a summer camp where they make the same T-shirt over and over again, thousands of times. It's summer fun year-round.
And the problem is, when you don't pay people, there are consequences. One of the players who climbed the sponsored ladder last year was Shabazz Napier, who happened to let slip a startling fact after one of the games.
You know, sometimes, like I said, there's hungry nights where I'm not able to eat, and but I still got to play up to my, you know, capabilities. There are hungry nights that I go to bed and I'm starving.
That's insane. Hunger Games should take place annually in a dystopian future, not every March sponsored by Coca-Cola on CBS. The NCAA insists that student athletes cannot be paid because they're amateurs. And though they've slightly softened their rules on food, among other things, in the last year, they still exercise a ridiculous amount of control over players.
Before they're allowed to compete, athletes have to sign this form saying that they are amateurs. They give up any compensation for playing and promise to abide by all the rules in this 440-page manual.
A 400-odd page manual of rules. The only other thing that has that many finicky little rules would be a sex party at Wes Anderson's house. Guests are required to wear lingerie of only a pre-war Andalusian vintage. Fellatio may only be accompanied by music from the Kinks and early Cat Stevens. And condoms shall be found nestled inside a small diorama of the sinking of the Lusitania. Now, everybody, f***. And look, the NCAA rulebook is not just for show, as a New Mexico player discovered a few years back.
A discount on a hotel ballroom is the impermissible benefit and NCAA minor violation that caused Jamal Finn to be suspended.
Yes, that's right. He was suspended for unwittingly receiving a $250 discount on a ballroom for his 21st birthday party. And by the way, a discounted ballroom. Are we absolutely sure he was turning 21 and not celebrating his 40th wedding anniversary with his lovely wife, Marion? Because that would make more sense. But the point is, some rule enforcements go from the petty to the downright heartless.
The late Rick Majerus, when he was at Utah, had one of his players who lost one of his parents. And he took him to lunch before putting him on a plane to send him home. And the NCAA said that was a violation because you can't give an athlete something you don't give another student.
Oh, sure, I get that. If you show one player basic human decency, you have to show everyone basic human decency. Nobody wants that. And to be fair here, the NCAA claim that while student athletes are not being paid, they are being compensated with something incredibly valuable.
We provide them with remarkable opportunities to get an education at the finest universities on earth. That's American universities and colleges.
Yes, athletes are paid in an education, the only currency more difficult to spend than Bitcoin. And look, a four-year education is undeniably valuable, assuming that, one, you don't get hurt and lose your scholarship, which can happen, and two, that you have time to study. Because if you're a student athlete playing top-level basketball or football, that can be difficult. Listen to current NFL player Richard Sherman reminisce about his college days.
You wake up in the morning, you have weights at this time. Then after weights, you go to class. And after class, you go maybe try to grab you a quick bite to eat. And then after you get your quick bite to eat, you go straight to meetings. And after meetings, you got practice. And after practice, you got to try to get all the work done you had throughout the day. I would love for a regular student to have a student athlete schedule during the season for just one quarter or one semester and show me how you balance that.
He's right. Paying top college athletes with an education is sort of like telling a full-time nurse, there's no salary for this job. We're just going to be giving you free trumpet lessons, which you'll be too busy to do, but if you don't learn to play the trumpet, you're fired. Does that sound fair? I think that sounds fair. And the education athletes do get is sometimes insultingly watered down. Last year, an investigation revealed that the University of North Carolina had, for years, held fraudulent so-called paper classes that boosted athletes' grades.
Football and basketball players, they would be enrolled, steered to and enrolled in a paper class in African American studies. So we could have a football player who in the spring might have a GPA of 1.4, but in the summertime we put them in three paper classes and we get A minus, and lo and behold, he's academically eligible to play football in the fall. And that's how the system worked.
Okay, let's not pretend there isn't something offensive about an African-American studies course being an easy major at that school. Here, just take this class investigating the social, political and cultural complexities inherent to the black American experience. It'll be a f***ing breeze. Phone it in. Phone the
thing is. And it gets worse. It gets worse because many student athletes at UNC also left with an unusual language credit.
What language did you study?
Swahili.
Swahili?
Yes.
Does that come in handy since you graduated?
Not at all.
What language did you take?
I took Swahili.
Swahili?
Yes.
Do you speak Swahili a little bit?
As of right now, no.
Encouraging black student athletes to take bullshit Swahili courses is the kind of institutional prejudice which might well turn up in one of their African-American studies courses. So, let's recap. Student athletes don't get paid and sometimes don't even get educated, but what they do get is the chance to learn from coaches who will take them under their wing and provide them with life lessons and valuable guidance.
Kill you! And fuck everybody. That is fucking bullshit.
Now that is inspirational. Someone should really put that on a cap poster. And while this mistreatment is happening, it's a good poster. Whilst this lifts your spirits, whilst this mistreatment is happening, huge money is being made. And not just while they're students, because sometimes the NCAA makes money off players years afterwards. Case in point, a few years ago, the NCAA proudly licensed this video game, a game whose selling point was authenticity.
The crowd, the noise, the cheerleaders.
The intensity of the game, the passion of the game.
It's all about authenticity. The level of authenticity that we go to is extremely deep.
To be honest, I thought the only people that obsessed with how authentic something was like that were people from San Diego talking about Mexican food. I get it, Kendall, but there are avocados everywhere now, okay? We've all got them now. In fact, that game was so authentic, it created a bit of an awkward moment for Ed O'Bannon, a former UCLA star player who currently works at a car dealership in Las Vegas.
I was with a friend, and he said that his son had a video game with me in it. Hey, you want to go and check it out? You know, so yeah, of course. Left-handed, height, weight, skin color, everything. Ball-headed. It was me for sure.
I'm thinking to myself, wow, they got me on the video game. And while his kid was playing, he almost whispers it in my ear. It's like, you know, the crazy thing about this is that you didn't get paid.
Okay. First of all, I don't know who that kid was, but that's a dick move. Hey, Ed, pretty crazy how you got nothing for this, right, Ed? Must be pretty humiliating, right, Ed? About you not getting any money for this, Ed? Ed, pretty annoying, right, Ed? Are you annoyed, Ed? Are you annoyed right now, Ed? Is it annoying to you, Ed? They actually don't make that game anymore, in part because Ed O'Bannon sued the NCAA over their rules on compensating athletes and won. The NCAA is currently appealing that decision, which would allow players to be paid, partly because, as they often claim, schools could barely afford it.
14 schools out of the 1,100 last year actually had positive cash flow out of intercollegiate athletics. It's anything but a money-making proposition for universities and colleges.
Exactly. We have sports for the same reason Mariah Carey has an acting career. God knows it's not to make a profit. It's for the love of the game. Okay? That's the principle. Now, he's not wrong that many departments barely break even, although that's a little misleading, because for the schools that generate most of the money, those losses are sometimes by design.
Profits are what's left when you account for expenses. They can come up with an awful lot of expenses, an awful lot of salaries. They find a ton of ways to spend a ton of money.
That's true. In keeping with their non-profit status, some schools spend money to make it look like they're not making too much money. It's like when your rich friend buys diesel jeans that already have holes in them. Come on, Braden. We all know that you can afford to have warm knees. You're not fooling anyone, B. And when rich schools do this to move money around, not so rich schools end up getting into an arms race to compete. It's one of the reasons why the 10 largest football stadiums in the country belong to colleges. In fact, the University of Michigan has claimed that on game days, their stadium is the fourth largest city in the state of Michigan. And incidentally, also the one with the fewest rusted out auto plants now run by raccoons. So, you know, they're doing their best. But stadiums are just the beginning.
Alabama made an MTV Crib-style video showing off their ludicrously opulent football facilities.
One of the really the best features, I think, of the locker room is the hydrotherapy area. We have in there a hot tub and a cold tub. And I use the term tub, but really they're pools.
Okay, I never thought I'd say this, but Alabama, stop showing off your ostentatious wealth, okay? And the crazy thing is, it is not just buildings that schools spend money on.
Mississippi State coach Dan Mullen was just given a raise, pushing his salary to $4 million a year.
$7 million a year for the next 8 years. That's Alabama coach Nick Saban's new deal.
University of Kentucky announced a $52 million 7-year contract extension with head basketball coach John Calipari.
Now, before you get too shocked, remember, America has a long, proud history of paying aging white men unconscionable amounts of money for screaming at people. So there's precedence. That's what I'm saying, there's precedent there. But all this makes it even harder to swallow when some coaches, like Clemson's Dabo Swinney, a man who makes over $3 million a year, insists that his players not get paid.
As far as paying players, professionalizing college athletics, that's where you lose me. I'll go do something else because, there's enough entitlement in this world as it is.
Now, wait. If you find that infuriating, you might like to know that Dabo Swinney is an anagram for soybean wind, which I think is fitting because he seems as pleasant as an edamame fart. And the fact, and it's a fact that his name is an anagram for soybean wind, is not relevant to this discussion, but I thought it was worth mentioning because it feels like something he'd be annoyed by and would not want people to know on a wide basis. Hashtag soybean wind. The larger point is, Swinney has trademarked his name for use on shirts because he's allowed to do that. The NCAA manual explicitly states coaches are free to pursue endorsement or consultation contracts, and players are acutely aware of this discrepancy. Here's former University of Michigan basketball star Jalen Rose.
The revenue stream for coaches people underestimate. You get paid from the school, you get paid from camps, you get paid from apparel company, have a TV deal. You have your radio show. That's 5 revenue streams for the coach. So when I come into practice and I miss a couple of shots and I dribble it off my foot, and coach says, Jalen, what's going on with you? What's going on with me? My mother's light's about to get cut off. That's my problem.
That makes sense. Sometimes it must be tough to focus on your lights out shooting when your mother's lights are literally going out. And if you're thinking, well, they'll all get rich when they become professional athletes, that's true in a fractional number of cases because less than 2% of college basketball and football players go pro. So if you're an athlete who dreams of being a Viking or a wizard, you probably have about the same chance of becoming an actual Viking or an actual wizard. And all of this assumes that they manage to stay healthy because if they get injured, a whole host of other problems can emerge. Fun fact, the very first executive director of the NCAA stated that he crafted the term student-athlete in the 1950s explicitly to avoid workers' comp for injured athletes. And 60 years later, that term is still working.
Kyle Hardrick was so good that Oklahoma offered him a basketball scholarship in 9th grade. But after a knee injury during practice his freshman year, he lost his scholarship. And with medical bills piling up, he couldn't afford to stay in school.
If it was workman's comp, my son would have been taken care of for the rest of his life. He would have been able to finish his college.
To be fair, he was promised an education, and he got one. A first-class education in how little schools sometimes give a shit about their student-athletes. This whole system seems fundamentally flawed, and yet the NCAA constantly insists there is no way athletes can be paid, even a nominal amount, because
the notion of converting a student to a paid employee is something that is utterly antithetical to the whole principle of intercollegiate athletics. It completely changes the entire notion of what college sports is all about.
You know what? I think you might be right. If college sports is all about exploiting people, then yes, paying athletes would absolutely change the entire notion of what college sports are all about. And look, no one is saying that they need to be paid millions or hundreds of thousands or the same amount or even that every school needs to pay every athlete. But to pay everyone zero when the kid selling their jersey at the campus bookstore gets $10 an hour seems a little bit strange. And if it truly is all about the romance of amateurism, that's fine. Give up the sponsorships and the TV deals, stop paying the coaches, and have teams run by an asthmatic anthropology professor with a whistle. But if you're going to change nothing, at least be honest about the business you're engaged in. Feel free to bring back your video games, but in the spirit of authenticity that seems to matter so much to you, make them a little more accurate.
Rated E for exploitative.
New from LWT Sports, March 2nd, 2015. The most authentic college basketball game of all time. Because any game can give you the excitement of college athletics, but that's only about 2% of your week. For the first time, you'll get to experience the other 98%.
What are you, a fucking idiot? I'm gonna fucking kill you! You bat like a fucking pussy!
You'll get to enjoy all the fun of being screamed at by a middle-aged millionaire while living in constant fear of losing your scholarship, be it from a career-ending injury, accidentally accepting a free lunch when you're hungry, or directly profiting in any way from the value of your work. Because making money's utterly antithetical to the whole principle of collegiate athletics. But don't take it from us. Take it from the unwilling star of EA's NCAA Basketball 09, Ed O'Bannon.
This game is every bit as f***ed up as a real thing.
You get to create your own player and enjoy an authentic student-athlete experience. Because our game puts just as much emphasis on an education as a real NCAA Division I school does. Are you ready for your Swahili exam? Congratulations, student. You speak Swahili. Now, back to the gym. It's the most authentic college game of all time, as another unpaid star of NCAA Basketball 09, Jalen Rose, will attest.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's like.
And this year, if you play LWT's NCAA March Sadness, you can play in two new modes. Coach Mode, which consists mostly of screaming at 18-year-olds.
Assholes! Assholes! I'm gonna kill all of you entitled assholes!
Or you can choose School Administrator Mode, where your only job is figuring out how to somehow remain a non-profit. You want a stadium across from your stadium? How about a rocket ship? But be careful, because if you use a penny of that money to pay your players, game over. The point is, no matter which mode you choose, you're guaranteed all the joy of top-level college athletics. March Sadness 2015. LWT Sports. It's in the shade.
This game is some bullshit.
And that's right. The NCAA is bull. I tell you. Welcome back, family. Open the phone lines up. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Number of you already in the queue, you know what to do. Hit star twice. We can have some conversation. All right, Brother Irv, good afternoon.
Baba Ushi, thanks for taking my call. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing well, brother.
Hey, I can looking forward to Friday, so we're going to have a good time chopping it up, brother. I got so many things on my mind. I've had my ears to the media, man, because these white people, they don't hide what they do. They tell you exactly what they're doing.
Right, they're bold.
No, you don't have to search and turn over rocks and all that. They say it exactly to your face because they basically believe that there's nothing that you can do about it.
Right,
and you're going to do nothing about it. But in actuality, American Africans are chipping away and have been chipping away at these Caucasians for years. The main obstacle in the way of American African is the mind of the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with a person who believes that integration has been good to me, this country is very, very good to me. And if you notice, the key word that I'm saying here, Baba Oshi, is me.
Me.
You already know, brother.
Right.
We're on the same channel because even the NCAA with this image BS, they're talking about one person getting money. They're talking about one person on the team. No I in team, but the team, the one person is getting money. So how do you believe the other kids are going to feel? And then you're saying that you don't pay anybody anything. And if you pay them, it's not in the spirit of amateur sports,
mm-hmm.
brother. Right. Stop with that. Stop, please stop telling me that it's raining and it doesn't smell like rain. Because the reality is, Stay with me, Baba. Because these Caucasians are in an educational institution. Well, that means that you have the ability to reason. That means that things have to make sense. And if this does not make sense to me, it doesn't add up when you pull up in your Bentley or I pull up, I get off the bus and come into practice, you know, or that type of thing. And so what's happening is this just goes along with all the other things that you've given American Africans over the years. You'll get yours down the road. You're going to get yours on when you get to the pros, you'll get your money. I'm going to get mine right now. And if something happens to you, it ain't my fault. It's your fault because it's just the way God planned it. So God didn't plan me you to have your foot on my back. That's not how the God I serve didn't plan for me to live like that. But then the thing is, Baba Oshi, there's no balance, because when you're not in balance with nature, and when I mean nature, I mean the universe. When you're not in balance with the universe, you cannot be in balance with anything else in your life. Everything is out of whack. Everything you eat, everything you see, everything you hear, mm-hmm. you don't hear it with clarity because you're not balanced. And what I mean by balance is you don't know where you fit in this picture. And that's African culture. African culture tells you where you fit in, what part you play. Do you build houses? Are you a scholar? You know, where do you fit? In Africa, everybody had something to do. Everybody did something. The guy that studied the stars could plant food because he plant the food. That was what he did. And he fed the village. And he fed the stars to let you know why it got dark on Tuesday, because that was an eclipse. Don't be scared. That's an eclipse. But when you put this craft into your religion, which is what I believe religion is more witchcraft than anything else, then you start to do things with no sense at all to end. Now, you know, it's Friday the 13th, but I'm scared of what? Mm. It's for that poll. What are you talking about? Where did you get that from? Oh, well, you know it's Halloween. What is Halloween? What does that mean to you? Oh, that's goobers and goblins. What the hell is a goblin? You don't ask the question. You go along to get along, because you get more when you walk in lockstep. You appear to get more than when you push back. Now, this NCAA is a plantation. You know it and I know it, and it's coming to an end. But what Arugu was doing is what Arugu always does. When he changed marijuana from a gateway drug to a leisure recreational drug, he figured out how to tax it before he did that. So now we're trying to figure out, how do we tax these children and give them scholarships at the same time? And how do we get the percentages with this whole, because they're generating billions of dollars. This ain't no game. This is, and you just played it. This is real. This is real money. And so what's going to happen, like anything else, when you want to do something to Arugu, go after Arugu's God, and Arugu's God is money. If you notice, Donald Trump, they didn't come after his, they didn't come to make him feel bad. They came after his money, and because that's their God. So no, right. Baba Oshi, you right on point with this here, man. This whole NCAA plantation, and it is a plantation, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening? I heard the guy on the TV the other day on SportsCenter say, yeah, it's coming to an end. See, they see the light. They see the light coming. They see this whole plan for the Gipper.
Well, they see it. Well, only thing that, you know, what needs to happen is that the players, those young men and women of the big conferences, of the big money-making sports, the ones that are on TV every night, the ones that help a coach earn millions of dollars, and all the other ancillary things through the revenue streams that they create for them, that can come to an end by those players standing up and unifying and then getting some minds together of how they can be compensated. Because I thought about this way back at the firehouse table. You know.
Oh, come on, Bobo.
Yeah, you know that. That's a good place to do it, ain't it? You there all day.
Oh, we solved all the problems of the world in that kitchen, bro.
In that kitchen table, brother. But, believe me. So I'm
Baba Oshie, look, I don't mean to cut you off, Baba, but what would be a beautiful thing would be if the elders of the sports would give these children some leadership. LeBron James, you've already made the money.
But see, LeBron went directly to the money. LeBron came out of high school knowing his situation. And there's a few others, and there are very few that have done that and able to do that. The other ones, you know, they had a thing where you couldn't do that anymore, where you, no matter how great you thought you were or you actually are, you couldn't do that. And you had to go at least 1 year of school, you know, the one and done thing that they had going on, you know. And now you can do that a number of ways. You can go to one of these camps, you know, and elite school. So you can do that, and you can spend a year there or two there, and then you come out and you sign a big contract. But I ain't talking about what the NBA or the NFL. I'm talking about universities, big conferences, and as you see, these conferences have gotten bigger. Some conferences have been like they've gotten huge, and so the money is going to be there even more so. And it would behoove the players to organize, to come together. And so instead of in name, image, and likeness, where a player or two, you know, my girl, Flaujae Johnson at LSU, her and Angel Reese, they're doing it. But what about those other sisters who are good players too? And they may not be as photogenic. They may not be as articulate. I don't know. But we don't know. You know, but these two sisters, they're doing well, and other brothers on some of those teams are doing well at the expense. And the unfortunate thing that all these other players, you know, and it would be great if they came up with a method to give these athletes a stipend from the university, and the university says to them, your college will be held in abeyance until after your 4 years of eligibility is over. If you go to the pros, we'll still hold that. So anytime that you're ready, and not only will we hold it for a bachelor's degree, but we'll give you an advanced degree because of what you provided for the university in those 4 years. Now, you could have gotten hurt, and seriously hurt, where you couldn't do anything, and your potential for making money on a professional level would be moot. So, you know, all of these things could happen if there was some leadership, you know, and I know they tried to unionize Northwestern University. I think that it definitely could be done if more of them say this is what we're going to do point blank and had some leadership. That just as you mentioned a moment ago, where there's some elders, some men and women who have gone through the NCAA and know what a scam that it is and utilized their talent for many years, and some were kicked to the curb. You know, they didn't get a scholarship. They didn't go to the pros. Sorry, go ahead.
You notice what happened with Brother Muhammad Ali when they took his championship away from him, and the brothers Jim Brown and all these cats stood behind him in a photograph.
Right.
All they did was stand in a photograph.
Yeah.
Maybe later on in their life they may have changed their mind, but just standing in that photograph shook Irugu to his core.
Sure it did.
He thought, you see, and once you, and I'm telling you, Irugu deals in imagery. The imagery is what penetrates your psyche. If I don't see Africa, there is no Africa. If I don't see Haiti, they ain't fighting over there. Oh, shit, I ain't seen nobody fighting on TV in Haiti. Have you? I don't see that. Ain't nobody getting hurt in Palestine. I ain't seen nothing. But imagery is what Irugu fears, because the imagery of that picture gave a sense of unity. But wait a minute. Are they coming together? Are they all thinking like one? We can't have that. So we're going to have to break that up.
Well, there's definitely,
and that's what they did eventually.
Yeah, there's definitely no doubt that those brothers, those men, Bill Russell, all those cats, Carl Stokes of Cleveland, who was, I think, an older person or eventually became mayor of Cleveland, all of those men stuck by Muhammad Ali, and then, of course, his lawyers and what was right to do, and he won the case. He was a conscientious objector, you know. He won the case. And the same thing could happen with us. If we stick to, if all those young men and women stick together, and you got those who are who have gone through the NCAA and know how it is and how BS it is, stuck together, and then once the season's about to happen and they see that these folks are not going to play, they'll acquiesce.
There's nothing to look at.
Right. There's nothing to look at. ABC, ABC, CBS, ESPN, there's nothing going to be televised. Number one, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, talking about 1966 when Texas Western played Kentucky, all-white Kentucky against all-black Texas Western. The bottom line is you will, from that moment going forward, no all-white team was going to win anything in football or basketball against a integrated team or all-blacks. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Especially in the major division, in the Division I programs, it's not going to happen. And so those brothers and sisters in that situation said, hey, we're not going to play until we work this out, until we have agreements about how this is going to go down in terms of compensating us.
That's right.
You know, giving us a stipend once a month or some money that we can live off of, about money that we can put up, money we can send, we can send to our family, because a lot of these kids come a neighborhood and a family where they don't have resources, where just like Jalen Rose says, I can't play because my mama's lights are out. I can't shoot lights out because my lights are out. You know, and that's real.
That's right. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. No, you're absolutely correct, Robert. And I believe that American Africans are smart enough to understand, and I think that American Africans are at the point in their life and in their progression in this country, because it is a progress. It is. We come from slavery. We've come from bottoms and the hulls of boats. We've, like you say, we've got a blood carpet in the transatlantic trade, slave trade from Africa to the U.S. to the Caribbean. We have come a long way, but we have such a long way to go, because at every turn, Arugu has something there to take
That's
you
right.
back,
That's
to
right.
take you to take your mind back. Every time we make a step forward, it's 10 steps backwards. I heard you talk about, and I know this is a little off subject, but I heard you talk about sister, the sister who has the bookstore. Well, Mia is her name. I can't remember her name. She has a bookstore that you advertise when you go through your advertisement.
Oh, yeah,
early
yes,
in the
yes,
show.
Of course, yes. And it's a Mandu bookstore.
I think about that. Mm-hmm. She has a bookstore, and it has all the knowledge that is required to have the mindset to understand that we are much more than we're worth much more than we appear, than we say we are. In other words, these children that are playing basketball and the people who came before them, they are much more than just dribbling a basketball and performing for white folks. Because when I look at these games, the first 10 rows ain't people that look like the people on the court. So let's be clear. Those first 10, all these championship tickets aren't going to people from the neighborhood. The kids don't have 30, 40 tickets to give to their friends and family. I don't think that's going to happen. But what they do, they get to be on a national stage and people get to clap for them and say how great they are and you go in a record book and all this foolishness. But you know what? In a capitalist society, it would be more to give them, to pay them what they're worth. And then, because they're paying for all the buildings on the school. Like the guy said, you paid for this driveway at my house. And he did.
Yeah.
The kid did that.
So yeah, he did.
They should level.
Yeah.
Come on, level the playing field. Mm-hmm. And let's stop with this foolishness. And old people, elders are for counsel, and the young people are for war. When King did his little civil rights, whoever civil is, he did his little civil rights, he went and got children.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go get old people. He went and got children to do these things because he understands children, young people are for war. Older people, elders are for counsel. I can tell you how to do this, bro. Better than I can show you how to do it, but I can tell you from my experience, I can tell you exactly what Arugu is going to do.
Right.
He's going to lose his mind out the gate. Then he's going to calm down. And mm-hmm. once he calms down, then he's going to start to be strategic and strategically pick off the weak ones, because the weak ones are the ones that will turn on their own. But see, Black American Africans now are stronger than we were back then. We're not selling for this integration when we lose our identity. We're not selling for that. There is no settle here. We want what we deserve. We want to be the Africans that we are, and we want to do it the African way. And if you don't know the African way, then you need to read a book. And that's the way it goes. And I'm working myself up now. Because
all right. I know. Well, Friday can't get here soon enough, man. Say something for Friday, brother. Save some of that smoke, brother.
I'm ready to fight, bro.
Yeah, save some of that smoke, man.
Let me let somebody else get on. All right, then, you know, brother. I can talk. And,
okay.
But let me say this before I leave. NCAA is a plantation. You know it. I know it. And they know it. And it's changing as we speak. And everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I'm going to let someone else get on. I say thank you so much.
All right, brother. I believe that this situation with the NC2A is going to change, because you can't keep a system like that pays all of this money to some individuals, and they make all of this money at the expense of all of these other people who, you know, some of them truly deserve to have some money for them and their families. They deserve it, and because of what they provide for the university. You know, the college basketball coach at a big time program, the college football coach at a big time program makes more money than anybody in that state. I ain't talking about private, but I'm talking about public. If there's a public official, a governor, a mayor, a superintendent, all kinds of people within that state, the basketball coach makes more money. The football coach makes a hell of a lot more money, particularly if it's in Alabama. Nick Saban was making $11 million. I think he topped out last I heard for this year, and he recently resigned his position. And he resigned because he couldn't stand the idea of name, image, and likeness. He couldn't stand the idea of those young people being able to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness. I'm telling you. Brother Paul, how you doing, man?
Baba Ochi, I am doing absolutely fantastic. Overwhelmed to be alive, and I'm just trying to do a little bit better, Baba Ochi.
Good.
Baba Ochi,
you will.
You know, it was such a fantastic deliberation between you and Brother Irv. I think not to patronize our brother, but I think our brother is growing in strength, seriously.
Yeah.
And I think the opportunity you've given him, I think he's going to be he's going to shine, man, bright. And I think he should grasp it. I know he does a bit of acting and stuff, but I think he should really grasp it, because I think he can shine.
Yeah, and get his own program. Hey.
I don't think he knows himself what's hiding underneath. But anyway, I think that goes for a lot of us. But, you know, Baba Ochi, I'm going to ask your permission just to push back a little bit, if you don't mind, respectfully and humbly.
Sure, please.
You know something I found myself saying to a lot of people on this side of the pond? And just listening, and I'm trying to work out what they're trying to say. And I came to this conclusion. Baba Ochi, I've said it to you before, I'm gonna say it again for clarity and good order. Baba Ochi, if I brought what we call over here a football, which you call a soccer ball, if I brought that football or soccer ball onto an American football pitch, yeah, in my European football outfit and football boots, right? Do you think those around me would accept it?
Yes, I mean, yeah. You know, soccer is definitely accepted. I mean, they start accepting soccer.
I think you misunderstood what I said. Okay. I said if I bring my football, my football gear, right, onto an American football field, right?
Oh, okay, okay.
And start. You get it?
No, okay, I got it. No, no.
Right. So, but I'm gonna insist. You see, I'm gonna insist that my rules apply, and I'm gonna start playing my way. I can believe I might end up dead. What do you reckon?
No doubt, because there's such a passion. There's such a serious passion for football, and in fact that they have been calming it down. They've been changing the rules. They take a lot of the violence out of the football game because football, as in its initial development, unlike soccer, is a very, I mean, they, in fact, some of the things they took, of course, from rugby, you know, you know, and but they've been trying to scale it back because of serious injury and possible death.
Yeah.
I remember this cat named Hughes for the Detroit Lions. Right there at Tiger Stadium, dying on the field. He died on the field.
Wow.
I remember that, you know.
Wow.
And you can go ahead and Google that if you like to. His name was Hugh.
Wow.
But the point being that they try to take some of the illegal hits, some of the hits, I mean, that used to be not illegal. I remember some cats, well, like Dick Nitrain Lane. Dick Nitrain Lane had a clothesline tackle with his forearm. You're running up the street, you're running down the field, and he would clothesline you right around your neck. Man, you know, you had cats that played defense, and he used to do the head slap. Deacon Jones, he slapped your head real hard. And Claude Humphrey, I mean, to kind of like just ring your bell. You know, give you an immediate quick concussion and then go by you or, you know. So all of these things that were done back in the day that are not allowed today because of player safety and the fact that players are bigger, stronger, faster. It's the evolution of players. They're bigger, stronger, and faster, you know, than they were 30 years ago. Because of the overall development of them on a constant basis. They are working out all year round. Back in the day, professional football player, he didn't make enough money. Or a professional basketball player didn't make enough money. He had to go in the off season to sell insurance or sell cars and stuff like that. Yeah.
I think what you've explained there, you've broke down so eloquently, is the commitments in what you call football, right?
Right.
But where I was going with this, Baba Ochi, is we have consensus that I can't take my English football on your football field and play. And the reason I use this analogy is this. You know, sometimes when I hear conversations, I wonder. You know, like you're talking about the college students, yeah, and how they are being exploited. Well, when you talk like that, the first thing, that's capitalism.
Yes.
And
yes.
Capitalism.
Yes.
Capitalism is based on exploitation.
Yes.
That's what it's based. people, those who are benefiting from capitalism, they don't see a problem with it, okay? So my analogy with bringing my English football on your American field, I'm saying that you can't, there's rules to their game. There's rules to capitalism. So when we all get upset and say, oh, they've been exploited and we're exploited and whatever, but that's the rules. That's the rules.
Yes.
So it's, you know, we make, oh, well, it's unfair and whatever. Look, that system where you talk about of exploitation is, you know, all due respect. Right now, some of our lying politicians, right, are trying to bring in that same system in our healthcare, and it's coming from America.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
They are trying to dismantle, because our healthcare, we can walk in a hospital, we don't pay out of our pocket. It comes through our taxes. Now, our lying, cheating, deceiving politicians right now are negotiating with some exploiters, some capitalists in America, and trying to overthrow our system and lying to us, telling us, oh, if you vote us in, we would never dismantle that system. When you look around you, it's actually happening, you know? So the point I'm trying, in my analogy, yeah, is that I can't bring my football onto your American football field because you have rules, okay?
Right.
In
okay.
a capitalist system, the rules are to exploit the weak. So it's pointless shouting about it and complaining about it because it ain't going to change. It really ain't.
Right.
I know that ain't going to change because to change, yeah, they'll make some appeasements. They will do that to make you feel like it's changed. But then you go 100 years later, you realize the rules ain't changed one bit. And that's why I go back to the colonial plan. The colonial plan is still on running and it runs through every institution, the colonial plan. The colonial plan is about conquering the mind, the body, and the soul. That exploitation what you're talking about is about conquering the body
mm-hmm.
and the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different.
Right.
So what I'm saying, this is my point. This is where I'm going with it. You know, campaign all we want. You know what will happen is, when you start giving them college footballers more money, they'll just become exploiters themselves. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality of it is they're in a capitalist system. And not one of us have been able to overthrow that system as yet. And that's
right.
the problem. Because we're still trying to fit in there. Gonna work. We could, because we look, reality of it is this Baba Ochi. We don't want to say the elephant in the room is there were Africans in America when they were freed from slaves, had slaves themselves.
That's
you know
true.
That?
Yes, of course.
That's true. Of
mm-hmm.
course it's true.
Yes.
That's what happens in a capitalist system. You give a man more money, he becomes the abuser. That's
yeah.
what happens. Capitalism is about abuse of
yeah.
the weak.
It's an evil system.
So this idea
yes.
that we're going to complain because they're being exploited, in my book, I'm not asking nobody to accept this. I'm just seeing it from where I'm seeing it. Unless we get the balls and the backbone to overthrow this system, it ain't never going to work because they have rules in that capitalist system. And the number one rule is exploitation. And what you think, are you going to tell them, well, don't exploit them? It don't make no sense to them that.
Right.
Every institution you look at in the capitalist world is about exploitation. I mean, during this pandemic, they tell you the four biggest companies, they made more wealth in the whole of history.
Yeah.
In the whole
yeah.
of history.
Yep.
That was based on exploitation. They created a thing called pandemic and pushed everybody online. And who made the money?
Yep.
All the autocrats.
Kaiser.
All the people who understood
mm-hmm.
how
Moderna.
This online thing worked.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk. Bill Gates, any one of them who were into this tech understood they made the most money. It's all about exploitation. So for me, all due respect, they ain't going to change a damn thing. They might appease everybody and say, oh, look, but the reality of it is they'll pick their chosen ones, give them a bit more money, and them chosen ones will be the next badge of exploiters to exploit the rest. We have to come up with a system to overthrow it. The problem is, Baba Ochi, a lot of us are too content. A lot of us are we're sucking on the white man's lollipop and complaining that the we don't like the flavor and we want him to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of telling him we don't want no more of his lollipops, we need to build our own.
Right,
and
on.
That's where the problem is.
That's
Let
right.
me just leave it on this. I say that in the spirit of the Honorable
Marcus Messiah Garvey.
I say.
Because Marcus Messiah Garvey said, we have to do for self. Yes. And if you don't talk about doing for self, you ain't doing talking about nothing. Thank you.
All right, my brother. Right on, Paul. Thank you, my friend. Peace to you. Brothers and sisters, we're at that top of the hour. Right on to end it like that. Brother Irv, appreciate you, my friend. Love you, man. I look forward to us chopping it up on Friday. And I'm quite sure Brother Paul will join us and many others. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace to you.